Good morning, church. Thanks for showing up for worship. It's been a little bit over a year since I was last in the pulpit. I think I preached Father's Day last year. Remember that sermon, Spiritual Fathers? Okay. The thing I remember about that sermon is that as I was possessing out of the sanctuary, Ellie, my dear bride, came forward, leaned forward, and said, 25 minutes. So I promise you today, the sermon will not be that short. As you know, I'm filling in. We have four pitch hitters this month. I'm the first one. My liturgist today, Nalu, was supposed to be out of town, and he asked me to preach the first Sunday. And then I was wondering this morning who I was going to get for a liturgist. I was waiting for James, and then Pia in the distance go, "Well, Nalu is going to be your liturgist." And I went, "Huh?" But I'm glad he's here. I'm glad that you're all here. Just a little different for the call to worship today that Nalu will be leading today will be a singing response. So that's what happens when you put the music guy in charge of the service, okay? So we all will get up and sing when it's time. The number is 657. And you can turn to your hymn note 657 because you're going to need it anyway, because we'll go into a hymn after we do the singing called the worship. We will sing it twice. So by the time you wake up through the first one, you should be ready to sing with gusto on the second time we go through. So let's stand up. Oh, before you stand up, let me wave to the virtual people, to the streaming gang. We are glad you have joined us for worship. So everybody stand up, give yourself a wave to your fellow Christian brothers and sisters, and pass on the peace of Christ and be ready for worship.
As was just previously announced, our singing call to worship can be found on 657 in your hymnal. And as Mark mentioned, we will go through it twice. This is the day.
This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice.
Rejoice.
And be glad in it.
Be glad in it.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
This is the day, this is the day
that the Lord hath made. This is the day,
this is the day
that the Lord hath made.
Lord has made.
Let us rejoice. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day.
This is the day
that the Lord hath made.
Please remain standing as we sing our opening hymn. This Is My Song, can be found item 437.
This is my song, O God of all the nations, a song of peace for lands afar and mine. This is my home, the country where my heart is. Here are my hope, my dreams, my holy shrine. But other hearts in other lands are beating with hopes and dreams as true and high as mine. My country's skies are bluer than the ocean, and sunlight beams on clover leaf and pine. But other lands have sunlight too, and clover, and skies are everywhere as blue as mine. Oh, hear my song, thou God of all the nations, a song of peace for their land and for mine. This is my kingdoms, the kingdom come, on earth thy will be done. Let Christ be lifted up till all shall serve him, and hearts united learn to live as one. Myself I give thee, let thy will be done.
You may be seated. This morning's first scripture reading is taken from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Second Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 2 through 10. You can find that on pages 174 and 175 of the New Testament in your pew Bible. Second Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 2 through 10. Listen for the word of the Lord. I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a one, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. The word of the Lord.
It is not in the bulletin, but Ms. Hunt will be singing God Bless America for us this morning. Thank you. All right, we have come to prayer time. Are there any concerns that anybody would like to voice at this time? Ms. Paya.
Pastor Peter and Melissa are sick, so please keep them in prayer. What a way to start off vacation. And then Suzanne Marquez has surgery on Friday.
Do you know for what?
Her knee, I believe.
Okay. Stephanie?
Just want to pray for my brother Brian. He actually fell and broke his arm this week, so he has his wrist, his arm, same thing. He has a consultation with an orthopedic surgeon on Tuesday, so he's going to have surgery. But
how old is your brother?
My brother, how old is he?
Yeah.
How old am I?
48.
I'm depressed too.
It's all downhill from there. Sandy, I saw your hand up. Wait for the microphone. Sandy.
Oh, Carol's back.
I'd like to make the announcement that Joyce Jerome passed away. Her service is Tuesday. Welcoming is at 11, the service is at 12, and it's at the one at, I think it's First and Potomac, that new funeral home.
All right. Peter had, before he got sick, I guess, sent out an email. He was asking one of us to officiate the funeral. Did you get that email?
Yeah.
And of course, I work for a living, and you know, I'm the chief cook and bottle washer where I'm at, so if I'm not there, the lights don't come on. So I hope we found somebody to officiate that service for the family. Anybody else with concerns? Ah, good. I like that.
No news, good news.
Joyce! We just celebrated a big joy this past week, country's birthday. Dawn?
I just want everybody to recognize my granddaughter who's here with us for this week, Riley Roll.
Hello, welcome. She's young, so don't suck her youth out. It's good to see a youngster here. Anybody else with joys, celebrations? What made you happy this week? Yes, I do. And Barbara is driving the service for me. I have on the list for July 7th and the week of to the 13th, Thursday, Don and Mary Boyles will be celebrating an anniversary. I think it says number 11 here. So he's still a rookie. Saturday, William, is it?
F-U-N-A-K-A.
Finucky. William Finucky has a birthday on the 13th, the Saturday. I have no age here. Does anybody know how old? 28. We're getting close to the downhill slide. And then I have Joe and Monica is having an anniversary Saturday the 13th, and that would be 33 years. Yes.
Last month, I have a 30 years anniversary on June 7th, and July 1st, Our son turned 29, Abby, and our daughter, Tubose Amy, she's not here with us. She turned 20 today.
Well, you must be very tired with all the celebrations. Good. Blessings on them.
Well, everybody celebrates my daughter's birthday because it was July 4th, and she's 61 now.
Oh. How's that make you feel?
Oh.
Yeah. Anybody else?
Hi. This is my last Sunday here.
Aw.
I will be going to my hometown, Burlington, Colorado, near where Colorado is, and I will be there maybe 6 or 7 weeks. So I appreciate all your prayers and safety, and as we travel and go down, it's 170 some miles from here.
Well, safe travels to you, and you will be missed.
Chucks.
Anybody else? If that is it, let's turn to our unison prayer. Lord God, hear our prayers. Most precious Lord, be a part of this land of the free and the home of the brave. Shower down upon us the righteousness that comes from you. Show us how to find and keep truth and integrity, how to teach honor and justice, and be agents of love. Show us the walls of our own self limitations, and give us the courage to broach these walls. Bless us, your nation, with flag flying, your land with amber waves of grain, your earth filled with people of a rainbow of colors, long before it is ours. Amen. So take a moment, center yourself before the Lord. Pray for the things that you cannot speak of, because the Lord will heal you. Lord, we come here this Sunday to worship, to praise you, to glorify your name, to be the people we should be. Just not on Sunday, but the rest of the week. May we walk in your presence. May you guide us. Help us to help this nation. To be advocates for what is right and not get caught up in the white noise of everybody screaming at everybody else at once. We are not made this way. We need to remember the government is on your shoulders, God. You are in control. Even though it seems like everything is out of control. That's because of us, not because of you. We lift people who are suffering in our congregation, in our city, our state, our nation, the world. There are many people who are prisoners of their own mind. Help us to help you break through. We know we don't need your help, or you don't need our help, Lord, but you desire it. For you can do all things, and by your power and your glory, may things be. We pray for our families. We pray for ourselves, that we be in your will, Lord, that we do what should be done. Help us to remember, Lord, what we don't have, give us. What we don't know, teach us. And what we should be, make us. So with that in mind, we turn to the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Barbara.
I would ask that you please rise for this morning's gospel reading, which is taken from the gospel according to Mark, chapter 6, verses 1 through 13, which can be found on page 38 of the New Testament in your pew Bible. Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. Listen for the word of the Lord. He left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them, and he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you, and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I would invite children of all ages forward to join in our video hymn.
Oh, good. You get to hear me talk some more. I wrote my sermon on 2 Corinthians, but before I get into that, I have to touch a little bit on the gospel reading. I find it odd that just a couple of chapters before that chapter, Jesus was doing his ministry. You remember a couple weeks ago, Jesus having to go out in a boat on a lake to preach to the crowds because there was just so many people crowding in. And then the next thing that happened was Jesus was in a house teaching and the crowds were there. And somehow, some way, his family got word of this, right? You remember how this went? And so they said, we're going to go get Jesus. And they showed up. Didn't even go into where Jesus was at. And basically, were calling to him. Where people came out and said to Jesus, your mother and brothers are calling for you, you know. And this family was there not to support Jesus in his ministry, but they came to restrain him. They came to control him. And so now they're outside calling for him. And Jesus looks around the people he is with and he said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? This is my mother. These are my brothers. For anybody in God's will is my mother, brother, and sister, family. So I wonder how the family took that. This is where my mind goes, you know, because we're such dysfunctional people. And it hasn't changed over the centuries. So where was this family? And you know they went away and they were like, can you believe it? Who in the heck does he think he is? Who is my mother? Who is my brother? And I can just picture him mumbling all the way back home to Nazareth. And now we get this, that Jesus came upon his hometown. That sounds like an accident. Came upon. Was it planned? Was it just along the way for the trip? And he comes in town. It wasn't like the Nazareth herald was announcing his arrival back into hometown. Hometown boy makes it good. No, I see him just kind of like showing up, not really saying anything, not anybody really knowing about him. And he's in the synagogue. He's preaching. He's teaching. And the hometown folk are like, what in the world is going on here? Who gave this guy this power, this wisdom, this knowledge? You know? We think we don't like this too much. So it strikes me odd. And to me, this is a thorny situation. But that is not my sermon. Just had to point that out. But I'm going to turn to Paul. And the scripture starts off. I know a man in Christ who was caught up in the third heaven 14 years ago. I don't know whether it was in the body or out of the body. God knows. Paul speaks of his experience of being taken up into the third heaven. He dates it for us. He says it happened 14 years before he wrote this epistle. That would be about the time when he made his first missionary journey. We are told about this experience at Lystra on that first journey. And this is from Acts. And there came terror, certain Jews from Antioch in Iconium, who persuaded the people and, having stoned Paul, dragged him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as his disciples stood around him, he rose up, he came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. That's in Acts chapter 14. Was he actually dead and caught up into heaven? Or had he been knocked unconscious and had a vision? Paul is not dogmatic about that. But the result was the same. Either way, he saw the third heaven. And this is Paul. I know that this man was caught up into paradise and that he had heard unspeakable words that were things no one is allowed to speak and repeat. Most men would have written several volumes on such of experience. But this is all what that Paul says. This is his report. He says so much, and yet he says so little. Paul again, I'll brag about this man, but I won't brag about myself, except to brag about my weaknesses. If I did want to brag, I wouldn't make a fool of myself, because I'll tell the truth. I'm holding back from bragging so that no one will give me any more credit than what anyone sees or hears about me. There is no self-glory here. The man who was taken up into the third heaven and heard unspeakable words is the same man who was let over the wall in a basket. You remember that story? The escape, maybe his first killing back in Acts. They snuck him out in the middle of the night in a basket over the wall. So Paul continues, I was given a thorn in my body because of the outstanding revelations I've received, so I wouldn't be conceited. It's a messenger from Satan sent to torment me so that I won't be conceited. Paul says he will tell us about his weaknesses, but he will not tell us about the third heaven. Why? Because he was told not to talk about it. What was Paul's thorn in the flesh? I don't know. I don't know what Paul saw and heard in the third heaven. And I don't know what his thorn in the flesh was. I don't know because he didn't tell us. It is interesting that God put a zipper on the mouth of Paul and silenced him. He simply does not reveal these things to us. Someone has said that the reason a dog has so many friends is because he wags his tail instead of his tongue. I suppose most of us would have wagged our tongues a great deal if we had been caught up into the third heaven. Now, why did God give Paul a thorn in the flesh? It was to keep him humble, to keep him humble, to keep him from exalting himself above measure for having such a vision. Here's Paul. I pleaded with the Lord three times for it to leave me alone. He said to me, "My grace is enough for you, because power is made perfect in weakness. So I'll gladly spend my time bragging about my weaknesses so that Christ's power can rest on me." Now, I have a notion that Paul's problem was very poor vision. In his epistle to the Galatians, we find that he mentions that he had to write in large letters, which would indicate that he did not see well. Whatever the thorn, Paul asked the Lord three times to remove it, and the Lord refused. The Lord heard him the first time and the second time and the third time. It was not that the Lord did not hear his prayer. It was that the answer of the Lord was no. Sometimes we keep asking the Lord for something to which he has answered no. If he doesn't give us what we ask for, we think he has not answered our prayer. More often than not, his answer is no. He said to Paul, "My grace is enough for you." He said he would not remove the thorn, but that he would give Paul the grace to bear the thorn. This is the wonderful thing about it all. My strength is made perfect in weakness. In other words, it was obvious in Paul's ministry that he was so physically weak that the Spirit of God was empowering him. So Paul says, "I gladly spend my time bragging about my weaknesses so that Christ's power can rest on me." This was Paul's response to the Lord's answer. Paul would glory in his weakness and not in the fact that he had had a vision. I look back in the past, because that's what I do, to different apologetics and different preachers, and I came upon a little thing written by Johannes Tauler, 14th century, circa 1300, 1361. And he was a German mystic theologian. And he wrote these words after reading 2 Corinthians 12:9. "Even the smallest drop of grace is better than all earthly riches that are beneath the sun. Yea, a drop of grace is more noble than all angels and all souls and all the natural things that God has made. And yet, grace is given more richly by God to the soul than any earthly gift. It is given more richly than brooks of water, than the breath of the air, than the brightness of the sun. For spiritual things are far finer and nobler than earthly things." Amen? Amen. Nalu. So grab your hymn note, stand up, and we will turn to hymn 519. Lift every voice and sing, and Nalu will lead you. Sound tech runs down here.
Just a late memory.
So it'll probably be another year before me having me preach. I think I beat the old record by 5 minutes. So, thorny situations, we face them every day in our life. We face them with family, we face them with work, we face them with our Lord. We say at work when up for the day, we'll see you tomorrow, Mark. And I always say, God willing. And I had one person at work go, that's kind of negative, isn't it? And I, oh no, it's me putting my trust in the Lord. It is He who decides if I have another day or not. And my job as a believer is to do the best I can with that day he gave me. We do this. We live the dream. We avoid the nightmares. And the dream is to be a true believer in Christ. So with that being said, I want you to grab a hand and we'll sing our benediction. And before the music starts, I just wanted to say, may the grace and peace and love of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you now and forevermore.
Go now in peace, go now in peace. May the God of love surround you everywhere, everywhere you may go.
And the people say, amen.
And all God's people say, amen.
Stay on your feet.